Let's head out to the Chilton Auto Body text line. It's the Bay Area leader in collision repair. And also check in at Dial Pad with Brian Baldinger, 95.7 The Game, NFL Insider. We've done some homework, Baldy, and we've got you playing in 13 Monday night games over the course of your NFL career. Would that be correct?
Well, Sonny, I think my very last game was a Monday night game that I ever played. I know I played some out there at the Stick. 13 sounds about right. When I was at Dallas, we played a lot of Monday night games. We were sort of a national TV favorite. So I think that sounds about right. I mean, it was always a big, big deal as a player to line up and play Monday night. Just because of the atmosphere and the fact that, you know, you were the only thing going on at TV on Monday night.
Let me ask you this, Brian. Most games start at 1 p.m. local time, so I would assume most of the players get up early and start getting into their routine. What's a night game like? What's a game day look like for a player when it's a Monday night game?
Well, it's a lot of sitting around. You know, I never liked doing that. You know, we always had meetings at some point, you know, probably a team breakfast in the hotel. Both teams are in a hotel, so, you know, the home team 49ers are in a hotel. So both teams are there, and, you know, you kind of wake up, team meeting, team breakfast, probably have some meetings, probably even a walkthrough, you know, and then, you know, probably starting sometime around 1 or 2 o'clock for, well, in San Francisco, it's a 5 o'clock kick, 5:30 kick. So, you know, you probably have 5 or 6 hours to yourself. You know, I like to get outside the hotel and walk around and get to the stadium early, so, you know, it's hard kind of passing that time, to be honest with you. I mean, you're kind of amped up early when you wake up. You know it's game day, yet you still got to kind of choke it down until, you know, much later in the day.
Baldy, we're talking about how the Niners are going to attack the Cleveland Browns. It's a big game. We're out here at the Hilton. Fans are fired up. And Denzel Ward and Greedy may not play tonight for Cleveland. And I want to ask you, if you were at the helm and in control, would that change how you would attack the Cleveland Browns from the start of this ball game?
Not at all. You know, they didn't play against Baltimore. They've been out for a while now. And Baltimore, you know, didn't play well against that defense. You know, it was just the next guy up, you know, and I think what San Francisco really needs to concentrate on is just them. You know, when they just need to scout themselves and make sure that they're doing the best that they know how to do. And I don't really think it comes down to who's on the field for Cleveland. I mean, you certainly got to know where 95 is. Miles Garrett can change the game quickly. So you definitely have to have a game plan for him. But as far as the secondary, I don't think Kyle is changing his approach just because his starting corners are out on Cleveland right now.
Brian Baldy, you're here on 95.7 The Game. Baldy, I'm seeing the trend around the NFL, and we've been kicking this around all day long. These quarterbacks out here throwing 40, 50 times a game usually means your team is behind, but it gets you out of your running game. And if you have a strong running game in today's NFL, it seems like you're going to have success like the Patriots in the last postseason. The Raiders yesterday against the Chicago Bears running it down their throats in London. And that's why I'm with you here, where the 49ers can't get away from what they do best, which is run the ball, but also stop the run, giving up 3.4 yards a carry. And last, you talk about the Baltimore game. It feels like the Cleveland Browns, the key to their offense is Nick Chubb. And if you take Nick Chubb out of the game, you could shut down that offense in Cleveland.
Well, you said a lot. So let me just get through it here. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you look at what the Colts did last night to the Chiefs, playing keep away and just, I mean, just old school football. You could have watched that game on a black and white TV. And, you know, you could have put, you know, pick your favorite quarterback from that era. You know, I mean, Bart Starr, Johnny Unitas, you know, pick a quarterback, and it would have been that style of football. And it kept Patrick Mahomes off the field for a good piece of time, and, you know, they took care of the football. And so then if you go to London and, you know, what the Raiders did to the Bears, I mean, what Josh Jacobs did and what that offensive line did, they pushed that defense all over the field. All the way to the final, you know, touchdown run when Josh Jacobs went up and over for the game-winning touchdown. That was impressive, really impressive. And that's what the 49ers do best. You know, they still don't ever want to get too far away from running the ball because most of their big pass plays come on first down off play action and where they're really selling the run, just like the Vikings did to the Giants yesterday. and trying to get Dalvin Cook going. They did that. Then they play action pass, and it really worked. But, you know, I think that when you look at the way the 49ers are built, I mean, you've got to be able to take the run away. You just have to be able to do that. It's just so important. And when you talk about Nick Chubb, they really changed what they did against Baltimore. They became a two-back offense. Look for number 86 tonight, Farrell Brown. He was with the Raiders at one time. He's been with the Browns. But he played more snaps against Baltimore than he had all season combined. And he was on the field for all three of Nick Chubb's touchdown runs. And there was no secret why Nick Chubb ran for 165 yards against the Ravens. They went to a two-back set. They really won the line of scrimmage. The line played real well, but Farrell Brown was a big key to it. He'll be in there quite a bit tonight trying to get Nick Chubb going.
Brian, I want to ask you about these two quarterbacks, and we're visiting with Brian Baldinger, 95.7 The Game, NFL insider. Mayfield and Garoppolo essentially have started the same amount of NFL games, 17 and 13. Can you speak a little bit to the fact that Baker Mayfield is a young quarterback with at least one high maintenance receiver in OBJ, and Jimmy G, you know, has a cast of receivers, none of whom really have a big name. I want to just kind of ask you about the dynamic when you have a young quarterback and there's one receiver out there who you know wants the ball, and if he doesn't get it, there may be repercussions.
Well, that can be true, Steiny. I mean, like, look, last week Jarvis Landry had a huge game against Baltimore, and OBJ not so much. But you didn't hear, the only thing OBJ was crying about was he lost his diamond earring. You know, otherwise, he seemed pretty happy with the way things went. I mean, they're best friends. They grew up together at LSU. They've been through a lot together. They're both Louisiana kids. I mean, the one thing about Baker, I'd say this, Steiny. I think I know him pretty well. You know, he was... Mm-hmm. He was not recruited coming out of high school in Austin, Texas. Stephen F. Austin is the only school that offered him any kind of a deal. He walked on at Texas Tech, won the job, won his first six games as a starter as a walk-on at Texas Tech. And all he ever wanted to do growing up was play for OU. Him and his dad would drive from Austin to 6 hours up to Oklahoma there, Norman, Oklahoma, and watch Oklahoma play when he was young. And he fell in love with the whole place. And once he found out he could play in the Big 12, he transferred to Oklahoma. He walked on there, had to earn a scholarship, and then took him to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years and won the Heisman. I mean, he's a self-made guy. People kind of forget about that about him. He's been in the huddles with a lot of guys that wanted the football. I mean, those receivers at Oklahoma all want the football. Dede Westbrook wanted it. Sterling Shepard wanted it. They all wanted it. He knows how to command a huddle. And he knows how to command a team. And I think Jimmy G, he was there in New England for quite a few years with Tom Brady. I mean, I think he saw how, whether it was Gronk or Edelman or Wes Welker, whoever was there. I mean, it's about the team. And I think both players, in different ways, understand it's only about the team and about winning. And everything else takes care of itself when you win.
Baldy, how good are the San Francisco 49ers? What's your gut tell you about how tonight's game plays out? And the reason I ask you that is after 3 weeks, the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl. The Eagles hadn't had a win. They fixed it. Green Bay couldn't run last week against Philly. They run it down Dallas's throat. What does a win do for the Niners tonight on this big stage?
You know, I was talking to the Vikings yesterday. I was doing the Vikings-Giants game. I was talking to a bunch of guys from Vikings. Mike Zimmer's been an old friend of mine for a long time. And there are wins in this league. Look, 49ers beat the Steelers with Mason Rudolph his first start. There's wins in this league. And then there's wins that carry and reverberate throughout the locker room. And it sort of tells you that we belong. Tonight is a game for both teams. I mean, Cleveland had an impressive win in Baltimore. They put up a 40-burger. And they were better than Baltimore in every phase of the game. That tells them that they are a good team, and they belong, in the discussions about who's the best in the league. The 49ers need a win like that. That's what tonight is, I think, for this whole 49ers organization. And all the fans, like, this is a – don't underestimate Cleveland. This is a very good football team. They're very talented. They've been drafting well under John Dorsey. They're well put together. The offensive line could probably be a little bit stronger, but they're well put together with good players. And so a win against the Browns is it's like Green Bay going into Dallas and winning yesterday. It got the bad loss on Thursday night out of their system against the Eagles. They're 4-1. They know they're a good football team right now. That's what tonight is for both teams, Cleveland and San Francisco.
Baldy, in week five, what impressed you the most around the league? Was it the Colts beating up on the Chiefs? Was it the Packers, as you just mentioned, beating the Cowboys? What impressed you the most in week five? What was your big takeaway?
Well, I thought last night that was really impressive. I mean, Patrick Mahomes still looked like the league MVP with a number of the plays that he made last night. He's throwing to Byron Pringle. His receivers are all on the shelf. But, you know, it's just the way that the Colts, the offensive line, just, I mean, they just choked the Chiefs. You know, they ran right at them. They didn't run any fancy plays. There wasn't any, you know, gizmos. They're 7-for-7 on fourth downs this year and 2-for-2 last night. And they played keep away. They got the ball out of Shady McCoy's hands. They got the ball out of Travis Kelce's hands. They harassed Patrick Mahomes for much of the night. I mean, that was just a total team win. And then, look, what the Raiders did was really strong because Chicago, I mean, they were so impressive the week before against Dallas. They shut Zeke Elliott down the week before. And, you know, what Oakland did over there, that's the best win for John Gruden as an Oakland Raider head coach here in these last 2 years.
Brian, thank you so much as always. Appreciate it. Look forward to catching up with you again.
Yeah, enjoy this one tonight, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sure is. Thank you. Brian Baldinger.